This podcast is made possible by kithandkin.shop. It's your place for everything from comfortable tees to tote bags for both men and women. Their products are designed to bring a pop of fun into your day. With over 400 unique designs ranging from sarcastic to funny to uplifting, they have something that speaks to you. kithandkin.shop. Here's a popular topic from our Rock on the Money podcast. For the full episodes and more information, head on over to rockonthemoney.com. Hope you enjoy. Social media question.
Yes.
What you got?
Well, what do you have?
So I don't know who asked this question. I didn't put down the name.
Oh, okay.
But
you want me to read it? Here, I'll
Yeah, go ahead and read it. Yeah, go ahead and read
it. Sure. It says, I just finished watching this Dave Ramsey YouTube video on cars. He says that you should not have a total car value more than half of your household income. This seems crazy to me. For me, that would be a $75,000 car. Do you guys have a rule of thumb for how much you're willing to spend on a car? Well, first of all, I don't think he's thinking that you... this advice applies to people with $150,000 in income.
wait a minute. Hold on. Let's back it. What do you say? He goes, that seems crazy to me. What do you say?
For me, that would be a $75,000 car.
Oh, so he's assuming because he makes $150,000, he has to go out and buy. Is that what he's saying?
Yeah, I think that's what he's saying. But again, Dave Ramsey is saying it should not be more than half your income. So obviously he's not saying it's a minimum price.
But. Oh, my goodness, dude. Seriously. No, that's not what it meant. No.
Yeah. Well, if you're making $24,000 a year, you don't want a car that's more than $12,000. It's a guidance, not a rule. It's like when you watch Pirates of the Caribbean and they're saying, you know, the Pirates Code is not so much a code as a guideline.
Yeah. Please don't do that. If you're making $150,000, please don't go out and buy a $75,000 car. Please. Now, for me, Amanda,
yeah.
Even though my net worth is seven in the sevens,
yeah.
I drive a Honda Civic. Mm-hmm. I do. And I pay cash for it. It costs me under $25,000, right? Mm-hmm. The vehicles that I buy, I want them
you
to
run
last.
Them into the ground. Yeah.
Well, not into the ground. They, you know, if you buy any vehicle nowadays, they can easily go 10 years. There's a lot of people that don't want to drive a 10-year-old vehicle. You know, I drive them at least 10 years before I even consider getting another one. And I could usually get another 2-3 more years out of it before it's like, okay, now I'm starting to have little problems with it. But typically, I never have a car repair. I can't remember the last time I had a vehicle repair. All I do is I change the fluids, brakes, tires, and what else? Oh, the belts on the, you know, the belts. That's it.
Yeah.
There's nothing else to do on the car. I mean, it's, you know.
You've gotten lucky.
When you buy something like that and you drive off the lot, before you hit the next intersection, you've lost $5,000 off the price of any vehicle brand new. You've lost that much value.
I don't buy new. I have my car's a certified used. I'm not going to tell you what kind of car because you'll just make fun of me. But
No, I already know what it is. I know what you're driving. I know what it is. It's a nice vehicle, though. But you bought it used.
But it's not flashy. It's not flashy.
I know. But a new vehicle loses 60 to 70% of its value in the first 4 years on average. So if you do buy a 2-year lease vehicle, someone else got fleeced. Let them get fleeced. Okay.
You buy
the 2 to 4 year old vehicle. You've pretty much taken care of the depreciation. From that point on, it depreciates at a much slower rate. That's the way you buy a vehicle. It was a Dave Ramsey question. And a lot of people don't like to hear this part. Don't buy a new vehicle unless your net worth is at least $1 million.
Yeah.
And because you're hurting yourself to generate wealth on the long term when that money could have been used to build up your wealth. Once you get to $1 million, then he says, look, if you want to go out and buy a vehicle, still sticking with that 50% rule, but you've kind of earned it at that point. If you're debt free, then you know what? Then you can start rewarding yourself. But until you get to that point, you know, try and do what Amanda did. Buy used.
Oh, I was going to say, what did I do?
What did you do now?
I have a certified use and I've had it for a number of years and there's no debt on it. So
And
it is one that has very low maintenance, and easy to maintain.
And what we want to do is we want to budget this purchase of the vehicle over time in our budget by putting in another bucket. So you do have your $20,000 to $30,000. Then you walk in, write the check. Can you imagine never having a car payment, Amanda?
I can't because I don't have a car payment.
I don't have a car payment. It's amazing because the average car payment is over $500 a month for how many months? 84 months.
84.
That is insane, people. You know how much money you could bank away? You could be a millionaire if you didn't have these crazy car payments.
And you're paying for two cars by that point with the interest.
Well, a lot of people are paying it twice. You're right. They're paying over $1,000 in payments.
What if you need a car, though, to get back and forth to work and you don't have the option of waiting until you have enough money built up to go pay cash? I mean, some people have to finance.
Okay, so if you have to finance, here's the rule that I go with. I know Dave Ramsey would never tell you to finance a vehicle, okay? If you can't afford the payment based on a 42-month loan, you have too much vehicle.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, so that's
over 3 years.
Right, so go 36. Don't go 48. Keep it under 42. If you can't afford that monthly payment, three and a half years. If you can't afford that payment, you probably have too much vehicle. So that pretty much goes along with the 50% rule.
I mean, you shouldn't just be thinking about the payment either. I mean, car insurance every month. Yeah.
Right. So
don't max yourself out.
Right. So if you absolutely have to do it, you want to do 42 a month or less. And you want to get that paid off as soon as possible by doing side gigs, second job, whatever you need to do. You want to get rid of that debt because now we're back to the debt snowball, which we're going to talk about coming up next. I went and did some research based on this question because I remembered back in the day, back in the 80s, when Bill Gates was running Microsoft, he had all this money, but he was still driving an old Honda Accord to his work every day. And I thought, let me go figure out what all these billionaires are driving out there.
To
try and bring this to perspective. And I want
you driving what Ryan Lochte's wife is driving. No.
So what I'm thinking of is if you guys are driving a vehicle that's worth more than what these billionaires are driving, you're driving too much vehicle.
Yeah.
Now that let the hate mail roll in. Podcast at rocklandusa.com. So let's start out with the first one. We can alternate. I'll do the first one. Then you can read the next one. So according to Bloomberg, Amazon CEO and founder Jeff Bezos, of course, when he owns 12% stake in Amazon currently, and he's currently worth $115 billion with a B, okay? 2 years after the company went public, it was on the stock market, okay? He was still driving a 1996 Honda Accord, and at that time, the MSRP in 1996 was $17,000 for that Honda Accord.
But what year did they go public?
In 94.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I remember shopping at Amazon before it was called Amazon. I think it was called Blue Nile or something like that.
Yeah.
Something like
that.
But
was it a new Honda Accord or was it used by that point?
I think we're reading into it. I don't know.
Oh, okay. All right. Anyway, it was $17,000. No,
but yeah, it was a $17,000 vehicle.
Yes. And it was a Honda Accord.
I remember Bill Gates was doing the same thing. He was driving a Honda Accord to Microsoft headquarters up in Washington State. So. Anyway.
Yeah. And then according to Forbes, Facebook and Asana co-founder Dustin Moskovitz, I see why you wanted to switch back and forth.
Well, I couldn't pronounce his name. let the brainiac. You're the lawyer. You figure it out. I'm a stupid fireman. What do I know?
Dustin Moskovitz has a net worth of $13.4 billion. Despite his 3% stake in Facebook, he stays frugal. In 2011, he was profiled in the Seattle Times, and they said that he drove a Volkswagen R32 at the time, and the manufacturer's retail price for that in 2008 was $32,000.
I think a co-founder of Facebook can drive a $32,000 vehicle.
Yeah.
That's crazy. All right, so the next one. According to Reuters, co-founder of Google, Larry Page, everybody knows Larry Page, he earned a spot as the eighth richest person in the world, Amanda.
Yeah.
And although he had an annual salary of just $1, he's one of those CEOs that chose to just take a dollar.
Mm-hmm.
His net worth was still $53.5 billion as of October 2018. Larry Page drives a Toyota Prius, by the way. And the 2019 base price for a Toyota Prius, $23,700.
And he's saving on his gas bill, too.
That's less than my Civic. Now I feel bad. Anyway.
According to CNN, Warren Buffett, the Oracle of Omaha, is well known for his frugal ways, of course. The billionaire CEO of Berkshire Hathaway has pledged to donate 99% of his net worth of $84.2 billion in his lifetime. He drives a 2014 Cadillac XTS. Now, I totally see that. Yes. He definitely looks like a Cadillac kind of guy.
Why? Because he's old? Oh, yeah. I might as well just take me down to the Cadillac dealership while you're at it.
The price for a new one is $23,500. Before his 2014 Caddy, he owned a 2006. Guess the brand? Cadillac.
Cadillac, of course. Old man.
Yeah.
And lastly, we have, according to CNBC, Alice Walton. She's one of the heirs of the Walmart fortune and the second wealthiest woman in the world, Amanda.
Instead of first? Do we know?
I don't know.
I'll find out. You go on.
Yeah. Google it for me.
I will.
Hey, I got Google. I got Google Home thing sitting right here. Hey, Google, who is the wealthiest woman in the world?
It says Françoise Bettencourt-Myers. Bettencourt-Myers.
On the website.
Yep, Bettencourt-Myers. Of L'Oreal.
Is also the chairwoman of her family's.
Okay, Google, stop. Hey, Google, stop.
Of note, Mackenzie Bezos is not included because she gained her individual wealth of $37 billion after the 2019 rankings were published.
Ah, from the divorce.
The divorce, yeah. Anyway, bah, bah. Carry on.
Alice Walton, she decided not to work at Walmart like her two other brothers. She decided to curate art and reportedly has an art collection worth hundreds of millions of dollars. She spent part of her $51.6 billion net worth on her 2006 Ford F-150.
I love it. King that's Ranch. Such an Arkansas thing to do.
But it is a King Ranch pickup.
A nice one.
Yeah, of course. According to a 2008 Fortune article, the MSRP for the truck that year was $40,000.
Yeah, my husband has a F-150.
That's cheap compared to the F-150s that are going out there today. But anyway, that's the most expensive of all these billionaires is a $40,000 pickup truck. So guys, everyone out there, if you're paying more than that for a vehicle, these billionaires, they could have went out and bought anything. And you're out there paying how much for your vehicles? You don't have even $1 million put away. So just think about that. Why are you buying a vehicle? Who are you trying to impress? It's just not worth it, really. It's keeping you from living your best life. It really is. If you find this podcast to be of value, please share it with a friend. Let them know about us. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button, that like button, wherever you're listening to the podcast. Let everybody else know that you love the podcast and help us spread the word. We're here for you. We're not charging anything for this. We're not selling anything. It's all for you. It's your community, and we're going to make this happen together. Thank you, everybody, and we'll see you again next time right here at Rock on the Money. America's Rockland, USA. All opinions expressed by the host are solely their own and do not reflect the views of any company, affiliates, or advertisers. Investments or strategies mentioned in the show may not be suitable for you. Before acting on any information in the show, you should consider whether it is suitable for your particular circumstances and strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial or investment advisor.